Manx Radio Saturday Live Lounge, supported by Villa Gaiety. For the latest Watson information, visit villagaiety.com.
That, oh, Phil Reynolds is being naughty in the background. It's a good job I didn't hear that. That was last week's third song, which is Joe, DJO, and it's called End of Beginning. I'm now going to introduce somebody new to the Live Lounge. I said this person's name a little bit incorrectly before. I said Heike, but it's not, is it? How do you correctly pronounce your name?
You pronounce it Heike.
So. Heike.
To give out the fish and add an E at the end.
Oh, I love that.
You get it right.
And you have such a fabulous accent because you are Finnish, aren't you?
That's correct.
So what are you doing on the Isle of Man?
I was offered a job about 6 years ago now. So I was unemployed for a little bit and I was offered a job here. Came in for a job interview. I was asked to stay for the weekend just to see whether I could actually see myself living on the island. I went to a few pubs, Quids Inn, saw the Last Tracks there and a couple of other bands over the weekend and saw that there's a really great music scene here. So I said, yeah, well, it sounds like looks like a nice place to live in. So why not?
I love that. That's the first thing you wanted to do was make sure there was a good music scene over here.
Well, that's it. It's very important for me. Yeah.
And well, it's important to you, interestingly, because you from what I've gathered from your notes, so you were playing music when you were very young, and then there was quite a gap, wasn't there? And you've sort of insinuated that it was the Isle of Man that reignited your music, really.
Well, that's correct. Yes. I hadn't really played that much. I played very, very infrequently before that. But when I moved in here, I found a bit more time and space for myself and I started playing a lot more. And obviously going out to see bands and like I say, it's really, really a marvelous music scene here. Really great bands, very approachable people as well. They're very friendly and welcoming. So I started doing open mic nights and that type of stuff, and then eventually got into writing music again.
And so you play guitar and sing and write, obviously. So when you're doing the open mics, was that kind of your vibe, was yourself just sing a guitar and that's what you were doing?
That's it. That's exactly what I was doing, yeah.
Yeah.
My wife sings as well, so we did once she moved in here as well. So we've done gigs, acoustic gigs, just her singing, me doing backing vocals and playing the guitar as well.
But then you thought, do you know what? I'm going to get some of this recorded. And so you met up with a certain chap who's sitting beside you, I take it. Is that where the whole recording process began? Was it meeting Phil? Or
yeah, I had met Phil before in some open mic nights and in some gigs. But I didn't know him that well. I knew who he was and what he does. So
he's one of those reputation precedes him kind of people, isn't he?
So always a worrying statement.
I knew that he's a really good producer. So
thank you.
Based on what he had done in the past and what some friends had told me, so I approached him and say, well, I'd like to do an EP, maybe four songs. I think we could do something about it, and then we got together and it was quite an experience for me because, like the first EP that we recorded, it's 30 years in the making. So mm-hmm. I had done some recording about 30 years ago, but that's it. So getting back to recording and working with a new producer and so on. So it was a bit of a learning curve, but yeah, it was really interesting and exciting.
And so Phil, so when you met Heike and he kind of came to you and said, I've got some songs, I want to record them, were you very much on board with the whole sort of arrangement and production side of it to sort of contribute, or was it all sort of preformed in Heike's mind and then you just sort of took it and ran with it, or how did it go?
I think it's fair to say it wasn't exactly preformed. It was.
It is.
We found our feet as we went along, I think, and it turned into, well, for me, a really enjoyable process. It was great fun because it was seeing Heike get more and more confident and getting more of a grip on what we can do with stuff. And I really, apart from the Sonics, I had very little in the involvement in the creative side of it. That was all you. Sorted out some of the drums, did the producery stuff, but that creatively, it was a really
great experience because, well, I basically, normally when I compose, it's the guitar And then it's normally the music comes first and then the lyrics and the vocals. And I basically had the guitar bits and the vocals. And then we just worked from there. So we recorded the guitar, the vocals. I had frantically tried to get some sort of bass lines sorted out that I could record.
And
yeah, it turned out pretty good.
Because on the first record, it is mostly just the two of you, isn't it?
Yeah,
and then the second record is it's more people on there. Well, listen, what was that?
No, it's just, yeah.
It's just you guys. It's just you guys. So let's hear something else. So we're going to hear a bit of Flip Flop first. I'm just going to start this playing, let people listen to it, and then we'll have a chat about it once we've heard a little bit. So this is Heikki, and this is Flip Flop. So this is Heikki. Is it Is it Kostanen? How am I saying
Koistinen.
That? Koistinen. And this is Flip Flop. And we're not going to play the whole thing for you because Heikki's just made a video for it as well. And you can go and check out the video to listen to the rest of the song. We want to encourage you to go and see the creative process. This has all been put together as well with Phil Reynolds, Small Bear Records. And we mentioned that on this new EP, there are a number of other musicians on here as well. Do you want to tell us who you worked with on this then?
There's Steve Noshi is on two songs on the bass. Steve Leach on the drums. We have Colin Owen on congas on Anesthesia.
Amazing. And so how did you enjoy the process of working with these other people?
Oh, it was great. Well, they weren't... Well, Noshi was on the came to the studio to record it. Other things were done kind of remotely. They just sent away files. Yeah. In and we just filled it his magic and glued everything together.
I mean, when you're working with Steve Leach, there's not a lot of magic needs doing, is there?
I know, he's so talented. He can do anything.
I could start complimenting him now, but it wouldn't be finished by the time the show was over. So.
Oh, that's so lovely. And I do wonder if Steve Nash ever actually leaves your place, because he seems to be there a lot, Phil.
Yeah. to be fair, I've been around his house the last couple of weeks, so...
Yeah, very talented guys. Well, because there is, as you mentioned before, Heikki, you were saying, so much talent here on the Isle of Man. So you've got these two EPs now, and they do have a very different sound to them, I think. So how has your music kind of developed since working on the first one into this second one then?
Well, I think, I presume Phil would say that I've gained more confidence. In my confidence songwriting in there. Yeah, and I presume I played more as well, so I've become a little bit better as a musician as well. And I think I'm a little bit less critical of myself, so it doesn't have to be perfect and doesn't have to be really complicated. Like one of the songs, I think it was Rain, I was saying when we it was kind of the demo, at the demo stage, and I was saying, well, this sounds too simple, and it came too easy. Because it was practically in like 15 minutes and the song was there. The bass of the song, the chord progression and so on. I was saying, there's something wrong with this now.
But do you know what, though? I mean, Phil is the lover of music. That happens sometimes with the best songs that, you know, that have been written. Sometimes they take minutes, don't they?
Oh, completely. That had a slightly different tangent. That happened with myself and Mark Sale on Monday, Marky Moon writing. It just, there you go, song. Oh,
you're involved in so many different things. You really are. Well, I'll ask you about Marky Moon in a little bit. You just mentioned Rain there. So do you know what I'm going to do, actually? Let's play it. Because you just mentioned that this was written in a much faster time than you would have imagined, then, of course, developed then in the studio. So let's let people hear this.
To be fair, just before you play it, the demo in that first instance wasn't that far away from what you're going to hear now. That's
so
how quick
how
it came.
Much did you do to it? What did you actually do to it, Phil?
Just slap the stuff. It sounds nice. Well, slap the stuff down and...
We added loads of guitars. At the end, there's, I think, six guitars.
Some unholy amount.
Six guitars.
There's some unholy amount at the end, yeah. But yeah, this is, what you're hearing now is pretty much what the rough mix sounded like on that first night.
Well, that's good to know. All right, well, let's hear it then. So this is Heikki and this is Rain.
Today and rest for a while. I won't be letting myself drown. I just wish it won't rain again. Rain, rain, bloody rain again. I just wish it won't rain again. Rain, rain, bloody rain again. Everything's gonna work out fine today. The sun will shine. I walk with my head held high. I won't put myself down. I walk with my head held high. I walk with my head held high. I just wish it won't rain again. Rain, rain, bloody rain again. I just wish it won't rain again.
He said there were a lot of guitars at the end, and there they were. That is Heikki and Rain, and it is from the latest EP, which is called State of Mind. We're going to talk more to Heikki and Phil in just a few moments. But first up is the latest from Last Dinner Party.
I have my sentence now at last. I know just how you feel.
I really love that band, and I'm really looking forward to going and seeing them in September. I keep talking about it, and it will happen, and then I'll come back and I won't shut up about it, and I won't be sorry, because I just think they're great. And I do think they fit with kind of all the sort of stuff we're playing today and talking about as well. We are chatting with Heikki and Phil Reynolds all about Heikki's two EPs, which are we've been hearing little bits of. Heikki, I'm really shocked by you sent me some stats. Right, by how the music has been received around the world. First of all, my word, you get a lot of streams, but also in the most unlikely places.
Well, that's true, yeah. From the first EP, Domestic, there was a bit of a surprise. It's the second song on the EP, and it received over 250,000 streams within the last quarter of 2022. So
Wow. That
was a very, very nice surprise. And interestingly enough, most of the streams were from Brazil, and there was India, Portugal, Morocco, Cabo Verde, and so on. But
all over the place.
Overall, 154 different countries or territories.
154. Phil, you're the man behind all the kind of like socials and websites and all that kind of thing with Small Bear Records. How does this happen?
If anybody could tell me, there's a tenner in it for them. Genuinely no idea.
Really?
This is something out with us. This has got to be something to do with Heikki or...
Do you find that with the different artists that you look after, do you find that certain styles and genres of music are more popular in different areas?
This is embarrassing to admit, I've never really looked into it.
Yeah.
Never really looked into it. Certain styles certainly become more popular, generally the lighter end of stuff, but you'd expect that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're releasing a song which is somebody screaming for 17 minutes, it's not going to pick up a huge audience.
I reckon it probably would in maybe like Germany, somewhere
possibly,
like that.
Possibly, I suppose, possibly.
Yeah. But Brazil does fascinate me.
It's crazy.
It really
it's amazing, and it's crazy. And it was when the notification came through from the distributor, and you look at it and you go, all right.
Interesting.
This is a bit strange, but wonderful.
Very, very
and
grateful.
And then to be able to get into Haiky and go, guess what?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You're big in Sao Paulo.
So and I have to say, you obviously spend a lot of time on the kind of merch side of things, on the marketing of it, because it's very distinctive. Tell us a little bit about how the sort of like imagery has come about.
Well, I just started dribbling a logo, and it turned out it was actually on the back of an envelope that I draw the logo initially. I sent it on to my daughter. She studied arts. She's graduated already. So I said, well, can you do something about that? That would be presentable. And she kind of fine-tuned it a little bit so that I can put it on digital media and so on and so on. And
now there's coasters, there's baseball hats, there's T-shirts, which helps as well because people do like a bit of merch, don't they? Especially when it's band stuff. We do like to sort of like promote our bands, and that's a really good thing for you to have done as well. Because obviously you're new to the show, so we need to find out a little bit more about your musical taste. And the way we do that is by asking for your firsts. So I'm going to ask you now, do you remember the first album that you bought and what format it was?
Well, the first one was, I have a brother, he's 2 years older than I am, so we put our money together, our weekly allowance or whatever, and bought a vinyl that was Now That's What I Call Music 3, 1984.
Do you know, the number of people who say that the first album they bought was compilation, so many people did. I did, first album I bought was compilation as well. So do you remember what was on it?
Well, I'm going to cheat. I have a cheat sheet here. So there's Duran Duran, The Reflex, Queen, I Want to Break Free, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Two Tribes, Wham, Wake Me Up.
Really
those
big
are some
mix
of the songs,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which ones would you return to more and more on that? What would you listen to more?
I quite like Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Well, Queen, possibly.
Yeah.
There's also Cyndi Lauper. Yeah, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Of course, Two Tribes is a great song.
Yeah.
But then really one that I purchased myself was actually Seek Set, Killers by Iron Maiden.
Oh, very good. Yeah. So would you say that you listen to more sort of heavy stuff than anything else?
Yes. Well, it's kind of when, well, I listen to music and listen to radio originally, but then we were visiting my mother's cousin, and they had a daughter that was she was, I think, 15 or something like that. And she borrowed her Sony Walkman to me, and it had Kiss Lick It Up on it. And I just went, wow, what's this?
Sony Walkman. Not what's this Sony Walkman, but what's this with the music? Oh, I miss my Sony Walkman.
They were amazing, weren't they?
Though? Yeah, I really miss that. Well, do you remember then the first gig that you, or kind of major live performance that you went to see?
Well, that would be, it was in 1984, I think. It was a kind of a small festival in my hometown. But there were big names, big Finnish names,
yeah,
performing.
So we might not know them.
But yeah, but the ones that you might know then actually would be, I saw REM in one of the Finnish festivals when I was 17.
Yeah.
Then some of the other big concerts would be Cheat Sheet.
I love that he's prepared. You've never seen
REM?
Well, neither have I. Would you like to?
In their heyday, you know, the
automatic for the people. I don't see.
Just before then, for me, Green or Document.
Actually, Green's good.
The tour film video from that time is just amazing. I would love to have seen them at that time.
1989, REM.
Oh, so then. Oh, that would have been perfect. Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah, well, you're rubbing it in now. That's it. You can go off somebody, can't you?
I've asked you this before. What was the first gig you saw? Do you remember?
First gig was the Gasp up at the Douglas Head.
Oh yeah, Gasp would be.
First actual gig was John Fox in Liverpool.
Very good.
October 1983. And weirdly, technically, the first band I ever saw who I was a fan of was a support band, who were a Liverpool band called The Room. And all these years later, I'm pals with the singer from The Room, Dave Jackson. We did briefly work together.
That's brilliant.
And that's just, yeah.
Isn't that ace?
That's cool. You know?
Oh, little Phil maybe. kind of looking ahead going, one day.
Exactly,
and
that's
then
right.
That's happened.
Maybe some of the bands that the people might be more familiar with that I've seen would be Soundgarden. I saw when they were starting in 1990.
I've seen Soundgarden.
I was in US as an exchange student in 1990-91. I saw Kiss, Swinger, Slaughter, The Black Crowes, Jellyfish, Scorpions, Mr. Big.
Jellyfish? Oh, that would have been good, yeah.
That's one of my
all-time favourite gigs, The Black Crowes and The Jellyfish.
Oh, Black Crowes and Jellyfish?
Yeah.
What a combination.
Yeah, you can't argue with that.
There you go. Well, listen, what are your plans then for the future? What are you looking to do with your EPs and what's next for you, Hakey?
Well, hopefully we'll get... this is what we're doing. We're promoting
promoting
the EP. So hopefully you'll get more people will listen to it. It's available on all the digital platforms. It's available on Bandcamp. You can order the very, very limited edition CD.
Mm-hmm.
If you like,
it's on Spotify, etc.
Yeah,
all the streaming services are available.
So that's kind of, and we're starting a new. We'll have to mention now.
Yeah,
thanks very much to Isle of Man Arts Council. They provided funding for the EP, that helped a lot. So we could bring in proper musicians in. So we didn't have to...
As opposed to
Phil. Yeah.
Exactly.
That went down well. Well, it's been really interesting talking to you and finding out more about it. We're going to play out with Carpe Diem, which I think is quite a fitting one, really, to play out with. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, it's from the first album. All the songs in the first album were written during the COVID lockdowns and so on. So they kind of reflect the feeling a bit. And Carpe Diem is about... really, things don't go always the way we want them to go. And things might go very, very badly and go bear-shaped. But, it's life. We just have to plow on and make the most of it.
It's a good message to finish with. It really is. Before we play, Phil, just give us a little bit of a rundown on what's going on with Small Bear Records.
We're on a sort of, apart from really Hakey and Steen Ash, we're sort of a bit hiatus-y.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... having to put a lot of work into Marky Moon at the moment.
How's that all going?
We released our third full-length album last Sunday on my birthday.
Oh, my goodness, that's amazing. Send me a track so I can play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And belated happy birthday.
Not the first track on the album. That wouldn't pass muster.
Okay, maybe not then. Something. Send me something
we'll send
that
a,
I
we'll
can
send you a
play.
One.
Yeah, do that. It's always fab catching up with you, obviously, Phil. And it's lovely to meet you, Hakey. All the very best with your music. And I think it is very fitting that we do play out after this chat with, as previously mentioned, Carpe Diem.
Stop.
Dissonance about it that I really like. It's slightly sort of unsettling in a good way. It is Heikki and it is Carpe Diem. You can find Heikki's music by going to Small Bear Records. If you'll find them on Bandcamp, and that will take you to all the various other places and other bands as well. But it's been lovely chatting to and finding out about Heikki this afternoon. He did mention that he saw the Black Crowes. So I thought, do you know what? Not heard this for a long time. And it is a great tune. Let's put Hard to Handle on.
Manx Radio Saturday Live Lounge, supported by Villa Gaiety. For the latest Watson information, visit villagaiety.com.